a great man we can count on, who stands far above the crowd, leading the cause for freedom. We have someone on our side now. We the people are ready, with our backs up against the wall. In this time of great trouble, our nation really needs Ron Paul. He's for America.
Very nice Ron Paul song there, my favorite actually. We're going to be talking to two representatives today from a local Ron Paul meetup group. The show, Local Profiling Live. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards, and Tall Blonde Heather's back with us.
Hi, Sherry.
And you're listening to BBS Radio. This is a show about using a voice to reveal personality through an analysis of all of the anomalous frequencies of your voice. So what is Ron Paul Meetup Group doing on this show? Well, my very first introduction to Ron Paul was when I was invited to do a show, I being the guest, and they wanted us to do vocal profiles of some of the presidential candidates, and they sent me information that they found on YouTube and other places where these people had made speeches. I didn't know Ron Paul. Had never heard of him, liked the name, but had never heard of him. And when I started looking at his vocal profiles, I was absolutely astounded. I had never seen anybody's profile that revealed such strength and integrity in their voice over such a wide variety of subjects. And for a new listener here, a little bit about what we do with vocal profiling. We look at the frequencies of your voice and the micro tremors in your voice so we can tell where the stress is. We have been using this with police stations and airports and interrogation, so we just decided that we would use it to look at the presidential candidates. In his voice, not only is there integrity, but I believe in him because everything is over a wide variety of subjects. People can't fake something like that. Although there's a lot of actors that maybe could because they don't have anything invested. But a real speech, a real person, you can't do it. And he offers hope and options that no other candidate could even match. I don't think it's a question of if he's going to be elected. I think he is, if they'll leave him alone and quit trying to steal the election from him, quit trying to bury him. I think the only way he can lose is if the elections are canceled or they're going to cheat him out with these voting machines, which I hear has already happened in New Jersey. For example, there was a really large family that went to the precinct to vote for Ron Paul, 30-some of them. They had made a party of it, but when the results came out, the announcement about that precinct, no votes were cast for Ron Paul. There's proof about that and a lot of other voter fraud over a lot of states. So we're going to talk to two local meetup members, Arnie Chambers.
Hello.
And Eric Lee.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for being with us. Now, we have a very astute, very savvy audience here at BBS Radio, and it's not likely that any of them need to be told what a meetup group is, but we need to start with the basics. So, one of you, tell me what a meetup group is.
Well, a meetup group can be really about anything. But if you go to meetup.com and say you're interested in, basketball and you want to meet up some local people about that, so you look for those in your area. It's become very useful for the Ron Paul campaign because there's such a huge amount of meetups that they cover the entire globe. Most candidates have like 60 or 70 meetup groups. Ron Paul has over 1,600, the last time I looked, meetup groups around the entire world. So if you went to the meetup.com and looked up presidential races and entered in your zip code, you'd find your local meetup group. That's what we do.
How did you guys get involved in this?
I just, personally for me, I couldn't stand looking at my government anymore. And when I discovered Ron Paul, I eventually just got up off my couch and did something about it.
Eric?
Yeah, for me, I heard about him over the summer from a friend of mine, and he pretty much aligned completely with all the values I hold. So I was full force from there on.
What intrigued you about Ron Paul? Eric said his values. What intrigued you about it?
Mostly, aside from the fact that he's honest, and which is a very rare thing with politicians, none of them are honest. They all spin. He stands for the Constitution and for individual liberty, something that I have never seen out of any of the presidents. Maybe a little bit with Ronald Reagan, but the last three presidents, I don't feel like they pay attention at all to the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. And Ron Paul, every issue, his solution is to read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and there they are.
And we're fastly losing
those
rights.
Very much so.
And fastly losing our freedom. You said something before the show that was really intriguing to me, that a lot of the platform that Ron Paul's running on is the same platform that elected Bush in 2000.
Yeah, as far as this foreign policy, the whole compassionate conservatism was to not nation build and not police the world and not go to war for UN sanctions and stuff like that. You know, that really is what boosted and revived the Republican Party.
So he's a turncoat.
That all changed after 9/11.
Do you think it should have changed after 9/11?
Not at all. Not at all.
I read a statistic recently that probably 1,000 times more people have been killed in this war in Iraq than were ever killed in the Twin Towers, and probably 6 or 7 times as many soldiers as were killed in the Twin Towers.
Wow.
That's just an incredible statistic. Another one that, and we're going to talk about some health freedoms, but the stuff that some of the pharmaceuticals are pushing about the papillomavirus shots or inoculations for young women. I read a statistic the other day. 36 young girls, high school girls, have died over that papilloma shot. And I don't see it in the press.
And some states are trying to make it mandatory as early as sixth grade.
Some
states, they tell you it's the law to take them.
And it's really not. I would move out of a state. As a matter of fact, my own daughter moved out of California when they started mandating vaccination, and then they came in 1 year and asked them to register their guns and said, we won't take them away from you, and blah, blah, blah. They registered them. 2 years later, they came and got them. So it's just, we don't trust our government anymore, and I think that's why we look to Ron Paul for such hope, because we didn't have any options.
Yeah, you're right.
So he came along. So we're going to be taking calls tonight. The number in the U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. We have a direct line, 530-776-5154. Can't get through on that one because we expect a lot of calls on this one. 530-776-5185 and 530-876-9916. And for you faithful listeners, radio at vocalprofiling.com. We know a lot of you are using your telephone line to have your computer hooked up, so you like to send us email. So you can send us email at that address. Why, either one of you can take this one. Why do you think the response to Ron Paul is so unprecedented?
Are you talking about the media not covering him at all, or are you talking about how he has a lot more active supporters than any other candidate?
I'm talking about one of the things that happened in Iowa. They blocked him from the debates, and so spontaneously, hundreds of people showed up to support him.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people really believe in the Constitution and believe that the Constitution has the, maybe not the perfect answers to everything, but the best answers that we have available to us now. It very clearly tells us what the federal government is allowed to do, and it very clearly states that anything that the federal government isn't told they can do should be pushed down to the states. And for me, I think that if you look at it in a utilitarian sort of sense, you realize that if you bring things down to a local level, more people can be appeased.
How did the Patriot Act get enacted, and it clearly violates the Bill of Rights?
I think that we have been on a slippery slope where it's okay to defend the Constitution for a long time, and the Patriot Act is finally the breaking point where we decided that the Constitution is merely a piece of paper at this point, and it's a shame.
Well, I mean, a lot of that was the fear of 9/11. We were attacked, so they used that opportunity to push it through, and most of the Congress didn't even read it. And Ron Paul was one of the only members of Congress to stand up and oppose it, and he voted against it.
What do you guys, that's wonderful. What do you guys do in real life?
I'm an independent filmmaker. I make feature films locally. We're small time, but it's a living.
And about half of your time now is going to the Ron Paul campaign.
Yeah, I give him half my week. I can't stop.
Is that the way you feel, Eric?
Yeah. I'm an aviation student, and right now I'm at a point where I've got enough free time that I can focus a lot of it on the Ron Paul campaign.
Heather, you jumped on the Ron Paul bandwagon a long time ago.
Yes, I did. Although I've always been politically aware, I haven't felt this passionate about politics and presidential race until this campaign. And he really is a different type of candidate, and you wonder why he's so different, because he's following the Constitution, which is, you know, the basis of our government. But we need a change. I mean, in a lot of different ways we need a change.
I read an article, I don't know where, it's not on his site, but somewhere. There was a guy who quit his job at Google and volunteered to go help with the campaigns, I think, in New Hampshire. And he put out all this email because a lot of people were coming in to work on the campaign. So anybody that was willing to give somebody a room, because there's not a lot of money and a place to stay and feed him. And people opened their homes to these total strangers. I want to think that America is really like that, that we would pull together, we'd open our homes to a stranger, we'd trust because we all had a common cause. But that's not reality. I just want to think that's reality.
Well, I think that is a reality amongst Ron Paul supporters. I mean, we are all like-minded, and we're all rallying together.
What intrigued you about him?
Well, I like the fact that he is so consistent. He is who he is. He's honest. He tells you what he thinks. He's very direct, and he's very dependable.
You know, I really thought they were trying to trip him up in some of the debates, especially when they asked him about Rosa Parks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about that, Arnie?
Yeah, they were trying to make him look like he was prejudiced or something, and said, well, you know, the entire Congress voted to give Rosa Parks a medal for what she did, you know, standing up and starting the civil rights movement. But he voted against it, and, you know, why would you do that? Are you against Rosa Parks? And he said Rosa Parks is a big hero of hers, especially because she, you know, dissented, and he is in favor of civil disobedience and dissent. And he said, but he couldn't see using the taxpayers' money to give her a medal. And he challenged the Congress, hey, I got $100 here in my pocket. How about you all put in $100, and we'll all go in together and buy her a medal and not use the people's money? And he said none of them wanted anything to do with that.
Wow. So they wouldn't put their money where their mouth was.
Yeah, they wouldn't dare take $100 out of their own wallet.
One reason why I really like Ron Paul is I found out that every year he gives money back to the Congressional Budget Office that he doesn't spend. He cares enough about his constituents that he doesn't want to waste their money on things. I mean, he's never even voted to raise his own pay.
Yeah, he doesn't take part in the congressional pension program either.
I've talked to Bailey, who's another guest here sitting with us. She works here, and she just was introduced to Ron Paul. Tell us about that introduction and what intrigued you to sort of get involved.
I first heard about Ron Paul when I was driving down the highway and saw a big banner up on the hillside that said Ron Paul 08. And
that's probably Arnie and Eric's fault.
I might know a little bit about
that. Got to work, and I was like, who's Ron Paul? I just saw his name up there, and Heather here nearly attacked me and told me all about the website and everything, and that's kind of how I first heard about him.
Do you feel like, as a parent of a young child out in the world, working mother, that your freedoms are being undermined?
Yes. I feel like every day I'm worried about, are they going to put my son on drugs in school today and I'm not going to know about it? Because, I mean, I know people in the county that's happened to, so it's just, that's a huge worry of mine. I don't want somebody else dictating my son's health.
And they can do that here because the drug companies are paying the schools to put these kids on drugs, and they really don't have to inform the parents. And a lot of the high schoolers are getting emotional evaluations, psychological evaluations, and they're not telling the parents. I think that's why there's a big surge in homeschooling here in this area, because just every freedom. And before Ron Paul, we didn't have a way to fight back except just to pull your kids out of school. So, Eric, or any of you now, what do you think are the most important issues that are driving people, and I heard this quote on one of his YouTube things, driving people like a prairie fire to support the Ron Paul campaign?
The impending recession, I think, is a big one. The financial situation of the country.
Yeah, the economy is the biggest issue right now.
Gasoline.
The housing. Everybody's houses is getting foreclosed on. You know, we're in crisis.
I think that almost all the problems the nation faces today are because we no longer follow the Constitution to the letter. I think that we could solve probably about 90% of our problems if we started following the Constitution again. I think the reason why we have the housing market crisis is because of the Federal Reserve and the fiat currency system. I mean, back in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created, 4 cents then is equal to a dollar today. The Federal Reserve has done nothing but inflate the dollar, which isn't good for the middle classes. Because Ron Paul talks about how the inflation tax is actually harming the middle and lower classes. I didn't understand this at first. It's a little bit of it's a difficult issue to fully understand, but basically, when money's pumped into the economy by the Federal Reserve, it first goes to the wealthiest people first. So they have a chance to invest it and make a profit off of it before it trickles down to the middle and lower classes. And by the time it reaches the middle and lower classes, inflation has already set in. So you're actually devaluing the money by the time it gets to the middle and lower classes. But the upper classes get more and more wealthy.
They tax us to death.
Yeah.
When we buy something, we pay taxes on it. We make something out of it or we resell it, and they have to pay taxes on it. And you get your paycheck and you pay taxes on that. You take your paycheck to Walmart and you pay taxes to Walmart. So the same dollar is taxed again and again and again. So you're saying this is just bad management because they've collected taxes on that same dollar lots and lots of times, but they're just undermining it by making money that really doesn't have anything behind it.
Yeah, by literally printing billions of dollars and throwing it into the economy.
What is Ron Paul's stand on this?
Ron Paul thinks that we should move back towards a commodity-based standard, either a gold standard or a silver standard, or an amalgamation of different physical commodities. So you have something physical to back up your money. So you'll never see as great of lows. And you can't manipulate the money system as quickly or as much. So there are some drawbacks to a commodity base.
Do you think there's enough gold to support the money that's out there?
that's debatable. That's why an amalgamation of different precious metals would work.
Well, also he wants to end the Federal Reserve. He wants to return the power to print the money and regulate back to the government, which is in the Constitution, that the government has the power to print the money. And you know, that was something that the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 took away. Like, the Congress actually just gave away their power to the Federal Reserve, which is, many feel is a private bank. And
so the Federal Reserve isn't part of the government?
As far as I know, it's a private bank. There are elements of its board that are appointed by the government, but
it's a similar organization to the World Bank. Can be argued whether it's a government bank or not. There are certainly elements that lead towards it being a private bank, and certainly some that lead toward it being a government bank. It's kind of in between.
That's a little scary to think that our economy is going to just turn around to a different way of doing it. I guess you said 1913, so we've had a lot of years, nearly a decade, to get screwed up.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen? I mean, what do you envision the economy being like when Ron Paul becomes president?
Well, I mean, Ron Paul realizes that things like that can't be done overnight. Everything's going to take time. It's taken a century for us to get into this mess, and it might well take several years to get us completely out of it. But, I mean, you can start by reining in the Federal Reserve, taking it back under the federal government wing, putting tighter scrutiny on them, not letting them print the crazy amounts of money that they're printing, and move it back towards a stable currency where you basically know what, if any, inflation there will be.
Our money looks pretty ridiculous in other countries right now.
Yeah, it does.
That's right. We're not even, like, the Canadian dollar is worth more than the American dollar. And, I mean, I used to throw my Canadian quarters in the trash because they weren't worth anything. And now they're worth more than the quarters in my pocket.
We recently had a student here from Japan, and he said, why don't you guys get rid of Bush so you can make these changes? Have a response to that?
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of the people that are running in this election, with the exception of Ron Paul, believe in a very similar philosophy to what Bush is doing. Ron Paul's the only candidate that's running right now that says that he wants to get out of the war in Iraq immediately. I mean, even the Democrats who are supposedly anti-war, like Hillary Clinton, says that she can't guarantee that she'll pull combat troops out in 2 terms in office. And that's combat troops. That's pretty insane. And Barack Obama has said that he can't guarantee that he'll pull out combat troops in his first term in office. But Obama has also said that he wouldn't put it past him to nuke Iran preemptively. So I think that Ron Paul's the only one that really, truly represents a change from the Bush politics.
So what we're doing is just changing face with the same old story, with the exception of Ron Paul.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe a different spin on it. The American people elected the Democrats in 2006 to end the war in Iraq, and they vote to fund it. You know, they don't cut the funding. Congress has the power to cut the funding and stop the war, and they don't do it.
I mean, even Dennis Kucinich, who was a staunch anti-war candidate, funded the war. He voted for funding increases. So, I mean, you can say one thing, but actions speak louder than words. Ron Paul's the only one that hasn't been increasing funding for the war and has voted against the Iraq War from the beginning and voted against the Patriot Act.
Yes, and he has a history of living up to his campaign promises in 10 terms in Congress. He's always lived up to the promises he makes on the campaign trail.
I was really disappointed when the change of power came, and with the presidency and Congress, and I don't see it any different. As a matter of fact, this thing that happened in May with Bush, this executive order that gives him total power in case there's any kind of an emergency, and he can take over schools and grocery stores and all government.
That is horribly frightening to me, and I'm sure a lot of people too.
And nobody challenged it.
I don't understand how that's even possible, that he can do such a thing.
He just wrote it in as an executive order.
Well, and even for the people who like George Bush and think he is a good man, and there are people out there who still believe that, and maybe they're, you know, I can't judge them for that. but don't they realize that he's setting those powers up and his, you know, his successor could come in and use those directives? Like, I mean, think of Hillary Clinton having the power to seize your grocery store and your school and tell you how to live your life. She can you see her eyes lighting up right now at the thought of it? Salivation on her mouth, you know.
One of the things we saw in her voice was that she is going to do whatever's going to do her the most good.
Right.
She has a very wide breadth of information and interest, but she's going to satisfy whoever's in front of her.
She's one of the biggest spinners of the candidates, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not that showed in her voice print.
I don't think you need vocal profiling software to see that.
I always tell people when we campaign that one thing we can be sure that Hillary wants is to be president. And other than that, we're just not sure what she's really about.
On a side here, I just think Bush really thinks of himself as a good man. I just think he has been duped and just down the road with bad advice.
No.
I don't think he has a clue as to what's really going on.
Obviously he's never read the history of his family.
Heather, where can people find some of these profiles?
We are linked up on BBS Radio under Vocal Impressions. You can find that on the home page there to the left hand side. And we also have some on our site, NutraSounds.com.
That's plural, NutraSounds.com. Would you guys be surprised to learn that Ron Paul's vocal print is most like Jimmy Carter's? Not when Jimmy Carter was president, but what he's doing now.
I would be surprised. I mean, I'm surprised to hear that Jimmy Carter's vocal print is like Ron Paul's. But
well, a love of humanity, they share that. Honesty and integrity, they share that. A real interest in everybody having what they need. They share that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think that both of them really do feel that they need to put others before themselves.
Yes, I think that's the biggest commonality, and just the integrity and put it out there what's real. Real. What do you think about the press? Give me some stories about the press. What's happening to Ron Paul?
They're, in my opinion, they're awful to Ron Paul. They'll go down the line of these candidates in the debates and ask them a question, and then they'll get to Ron Paul and ask him some other question about some other topic. Like, they never let him talk about health care and taxes and the economy too much. He gets this, usually because he can link the economy to foreign policy and stuff, he can't get it in there. Like last night on the CNN debate, he was asked a question about states' rights in California. I forget the topic exactly, but he started to say that California, being, you know, a state and had the power to control their destiny. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, even, they cut Arnold Schwarzenegger in the crowd, and he's nodding, you know. And then Anderson Cooper's like, well, let's just stop talking and let's just go to something else. You know, they cut him off in mid-sentence, yet they let Mitt Romney and John McCain prattle on endlessly as long as they want.
And also, during the debates, Ron Paul gets about a third, if he's lucky, as much time as the other candidates.
I think it's disgusting when they pan to the other people while Ron Paul is talking, the other candidates while Ron Paul is talking, you see sneers and snickers.
Yes, that's one thing I will not miss about Rudy Giuliani is his stupid laugh.
Do you guys think this, I guess, ignoring of Ron Paul in the media is intentional?
I believe
yes.
so.
Yes. The media is run by, you know, corporations, that multinational corporations, and they're answering to their corporate masters. You know, the Ron Paul, his plan for America is it defies a trillion-dollar corporation, you know. So they're protecting themselves. They're afraid of him, you know, because he'll give the power of the government back to the people and take it away from these elites that just seem to want more and more power every day.
It belongs to the people. We the people.
That's right. That's right. It's our country. And that's one of the reasons why I go out and try to tell people about Ron Paul, because I feel like it's my duty as an American to stand up for my country before it's gone. And even if it doesn't work, like, at least I know I did something, you know? I can't just sit on my couch anymore and watch sports. And I can understand why other people who claim to be patriots and love America can be doing that right now, you know?
One of the highlights of my life, and I've done a lot of things, but a very simple thing, like donating to Ron Paul's campaign, I was so filled with joy with that. And I was watching the money. It was the one where he about $6 million in a day.
Yep.
And it broke a record.
Yeah, they raised $6 million in one 24-hour period.
That's,
and it was the most anyone ever raised in one day period.
And what kind of media did he get over that?
He got little to none.
The media kind of learned their lesson, because they had done another one back in November 5th. And it got a lot of attention, where they raised, was it $4.2 million? And it got a lot of attention and a lot of support for Ron Paul. And so they just kind of let the other next one slide along. They're like, oh, well, we won't be reporting that again.
There, all these big companies that are kissing butt at this point, and, well, I could have some better words for that, I guess. When Ron Paul becomes president, and I can't say if, it doesn't come out of my mouth in association with him. But when, they're really going to have to do some scrambling to get back in good graces or whatever. And you know what? I think Ron Paul will just say, we're going to do it this way. I'm not upset with anybody. I'm not putting you in jail or whatever. He's such a kind and forgiving person that I think it's going to be such a gentle transition. I can't see him doing anything rash. Have either of you met him?
I haven't really met him. I got him to sign a copy of my Constitution when I went to the Philadelphia rally.
Well, how did that feel?
It was overwhelming. It was very exciting. There were several thousand people at the rally, and when he was done speaking, he was basically mobbed like a rock star. There were hundreds of people around him, and he was very polite to everyone. He was very humble and modest, and I just got the feeling that, I mean, if he wasn't running for the presidency, if you needed something from him, you could just call him up and ask him, and he'd be more than willing to give it to you.
Well, the email he sends is signed Ron.
No.
Yeah.
You know, can he possibly keep up that intimacy in what's going on? And his emails are so down to earth. I did this, let's do that, let's join this. You know, while I was watching this one campaign to raise money, and I donated, and I looked up, and there was recent donors, and there was my name, and I was like, there was such a peace and joy to be a part of history, because that's how I felt about being a part of history. So,
yeah.
Arnie, tell people how they can donate, and we'll do it right here on the air.
Oh, well, it's easy. You go to ronpaul2008.com.
Okay, we did that.
Which is a terrific homepage for the campaign, and you just go to Donate Now on there. And
okay, it's in the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah, and it's
a secure donation form, so you don't have to worry about anyone taking your credit card numbers.
Yes, and it's Ron Paul's campaign, so you know they're honest.
It's easy. It's less than a minute. You put in your name and address, and I give my permission and location to be displayed as a recent donor. So that's where the meetup stuff comes. You put in your zip code, and then they find out who donated, so they assume that you're okay with meeting other people who donated. You have to put in your employment, and then how much you want to donate. They make it real easy. You just punch a button here, and your payment information. There's a thing that says referral event information. Do you know what that is?
I can't hear it at the moment.
Oh, let me put it over on this side.
Oh, it's asking you how you knew to donate to them? Is that who? Or maybe another donor?
I don't know what they're asking. I think I'll just leave that part blank.
Yeah, it's just they're just asking you if someone referred you to the campaign to donate, and maybe they'll send you something if you did.
Well, I just want to point out that coming up, Ron Paul and his wife are going to be celebrating their 51st anniversary.
So tomorrow.
Having this big drive for money tomorrow. I read that.
Yeah, let's send them a present.
Okay, if you can, if anyone can afford it, people at the grassroots level are suggesting that you donate $51 because it's their 51st anniversary. Any donation that you give him would be greatly appreciated. And I mean, if you give to Ron Paul, you know that he's very fiscally conservative and he spends his money very wisely. So he can stretch $100 more than any other candidate.
So should we send him, I already marked $100. I don't want to go in and say 51 now. We could do 102.
Well, actually, Super Bowl Sunday is also another day. It's the 42nd Super Bowl, so they're requesting a $42 donation on Sunday.
Uh-huh. You know, people could do that in a week.
That's 93 total.
Yeah. I try to donate often as I can. One of the things I did not know, you cannot, as a business, donate.
No.
Well, see, that shows you right there. You know, Ron Paul doesn't take his money from corporations anyway. So.
And special interest groups stopped trying to stop by his office when he was a congressman a long time ago because they realized that it's hard to corrupt a person that follows the Constitution.
Well, is this some legal thing that you can't donate as a business, or this is a Ron Paul thing?
I'm not sure exactly. What I do want to stress, though, that if you can't give $50 or $100, it's okay. You know, even just giving $5 will go somewhere with the campaign.
Don't go to that movie. Donate to Ron Paul.
Or I'm a college student and I don't have a ton of money. What I would make up for, instead of giving, I give my own time instead of giving money.
Right.
So if you really strap for cash but feel a need to really help out, get on your meetup group. Find out what you can do. And I guarantee you the meetup members are going to be nice and cordial. They're
write letters.
You can write letters to your editor of your newspaper.
The big thing right now, especially here in Ohio, because our primary is March 4th, is to go, for us, we're trying to change our, we've done sine waves and stood at events and stuff and stood on street corners and handed out stuff, but it's to go door to door, you know, go talk to your neighbors and tell them about Ron Paul and go around the neighborhoods, sign up to be a precinct leader with the campaign, which is what the campaign is stressing people do right now.
I think that's probably the most important thing you could do if you have the time to go to ronpaul2008.com. On the top right-hand side of the page, it says become a precinct leader. As a precinct leader, you'll get a list of everyone in your precinct. You get a phone list, you can get their phone numbers, and you can call them up and find out what issues they care about, and then you can go door-to-door giving them issue-specific flyers. And you can also ensure that those supporters that have said they're going to vote for Ron Paul make it to the polls before they close.
Where do they get these flyers, Eric?
From the website, ronpaul2008.com. They're pretty inexpensive. I think you can get 500 flyers for about $30, and that should cover the vast majority of a precinct.
Do you guys give out stickers and buttons and that kind of thing?
We give out anything and
everything. Yeah, we've been cleared out of our stuff so many times. Sometimes we do a farmer's market in Athens every Saturday, and I've had days where people come up and just take everything on the table. And the most interesting place I've ever campaigned is a gun show. Ron Paul is known as gun owners' best friend. He's never voted to restrict firearms in any way. And even if the gun owners don't know about Ron Paul, when you tell them, take the 5 minutes to tell them about him, suddenly they're taking bumper stickers and handing you money and taking yard signs. It's just a really great place to campaign.
Well, do we need to donate this to Ron Paul or to give it to you for the local?
Oh, I would say give it to Ron Paul.
We'll give this money to Ron Paul, but we'll give the local $51. How's that?
That'd be great. We can spend the money.
Thank you. Yeah, we will.
Okay, back to what you have to confirm here. This contribution is made on a personal credit card or debit card for which I have the legal obligation to pay, and is made neither on a corporate or business entity card nor on a card of another. Now, when they do these great big dinners and stuff, and you have to pay to go, and all these corporations sponsor big plate dinners, isn't that a business donation?
I'm sure they can find a loophole to get by that.
A lot of these corporations have so many employees, thousands of employees.
I thought it was illegal for them to make an employee donate to something.
It probably technically is.
Eric, speaking out there. Okay, number two, I'm a United States citizen and lawfully permitted permanent resident. Does this mean that somebody who is here on a visa or from a different country can't donate?
Well, no, because you'd be affecting the American politics. Yeah.
But if you're a resident that's not a full citizen, you're more than welcome to go to the meetup and find out how to help.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say, hey, I can't vote here, so I shouldn't take your flyer, and then I'll just look at them and say, but you can tell everyone you know.
Well, you said you had worldwide meetup groups. Are these Americans in another country?
A lot of them, yes. Some of them are just, internationally minded. I mean, a lot of people overseas pay attention to American politics.
This is a big one in London, I know.
Yeah.
Three, I'm making a contribution with my own personal funds, and I will not be reimbursed by anyone for this contribution. Four, I'm not a federal government contractor. I found that one really odd. What's that about?
I guess they don't want Blackwater.
Yeah, so Diebold can count the votes, but they can't pay the candidate before they hand them their election. Is that it?
Yeah. And the last one, I'm at least 18 years of age, so rich kids can't donate.
Get their parents to donate.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think, why Ron Paul is so appealing to the younger folks now?
Well, I think about that sometimes, and they're still in school, in public school, most of them, or they've been pulled out, but they've, ever since the mid-90s and late 90s, they've been going to school and being told how to dress and their standards on the testing are out of control and No Child Left Behind, and sometimes it seems like the school system is being groomed like a prison, and I imagine that the message of freedom and having rights and being left alone is very appealing to someone who's in school, they're looking for that their whole life.
Do you guys get any financial support from the campaign, or are you guys just work on local donations?
We donate a lot of our own money and time, and we take donations and use them to make signs. Like, we've recently put up some signs in Nelsonville, and that was thanks to someone donating $100 to us that we were able to do that. We find very creative ways to spend our money so we can be the most effective.
We just like a few stickers.
I gotta say, that sign up on the hill was awesome.
Yeah. I bet that was very cost effective.
I have some bumper stickers out in my vehicle. I can give them to you.
Okay. And for people who want to donate by mail, the address is 837 W West Plantation Drive, Plantation Drive. We have wonderful listeners, and this is Clute, Clute, Texas, 77531. Okay, Bailey, if you would move your head all the way from the screen where we have this up, I'm going to hit the submit button.
All right.
There we go. We just donated money to the campaign, and we did it live on the air. Awesome.
Well, hopefully some of the listeners are doing it as well.
Yes, we would like that. Did either of you see Ron Paul on the Jay Leno show?
Yeah, I've watched him on the Jay Leno.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I know a little bit about it. I know that they've never had a line as long for the Tonight Show as they in the history of the show for when Ron Paul was there, and
more popular than Brad Pitt.
That's good.
Which is probably encouraging in the country.
Or your movie or your life, right?
I guess he just made enough stir that NBC, Jay Leno, wanted to get to the bottom of who is this Ron Paul guy.
And they want him back.
Yeah, I believe, hasn't he been on there twice?
I am not sure about that. I don't know.
See, I think he's been on there twice.
I know that Leno was fairly receptive to what Ron Paul had to say and was polite, unlike a lot of other people that have talked to Ron Paul before.
Have you seen interviews where people are not polite? Well, the Rosa Parks thing, that was pretty awful, but...
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty similar to most of the interviews that he gets. There was an interview with Glenn Beck, though, that Glenn Beck gave him basically his whole show and was very fair. And then at the end of the show, allowed Ron Paul to just talk about whatever he wanted for a few minutes. And I thought that was very refreshing. But most of the time when he's on a show, they either don't invite him on and just talk about him behind his back and then make wild allegations about him that... aren't true or are taken out of context. Maybe it's not very fair.
I've never seen him stump or tongue-tied. He's always right there and very real.
Yeah.
And he says, I think one of Leno's questions was, are people afraid that you're going to get elected? And he said, they better be afraid because it just might happen. do we have a caller? Do we have a caller? I hear some noise on the line here.
Hello?
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, my name's Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I'm calling about Ron Paul and the gold and silver standard. A lot of the politicians, it seems, think that we're going to be carrying around gold and silver coins in our pocket, and he calls that idea crazy, kooky. Well... the problem is the media doesn't understand what the gold and silver standard is. If you go back and take a look at a note 60 years ago, there's a stamp on it. It had a golden stamp or a silver stamp. And
right.
It said, you can cash this in for this value of gold, $5, $10. Now,
right.
Nowadays you have Federal Reserve on it, and it has no gold, and it has no silver backing. That's what Ron Paul wants to do. He doesn't want us to carry around gold coins in our pocket. He wants our dollar bills, once again, to say, backed in gold.
We called those silver certificates. I remember them. I'm that old.
Right. Yeah, what he's saying by is that, yes, the currency means that your dollar bill holds this much value in gold rather than... Now what it is, there's nothing backing it at all. It's just a credit debt system, fiat currency.
He wants a competing currency. And
I would
buy a gold certificate before I would buy a Federal Reserve certificate. Federal Reserve is just the bank cartel. They loan money to our government with a promise that we'll pay it back with interest. Well, they're the credit card company to somebody who doesn't know how to use a credit card.
Right, and they're
what?
Just pocketing that interest money, aren't they, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's up to like 25-35% now, which is crazy. That used to be against the law. You were late on a payment, and you've signed it away that they can increase your percentage rate on all your credit cards, not just the one they own, but all of them.
Well, maybe it's not a law, because then they'd have to all go put themselves in jail.
There's big powers at play here that if the Federal Reserve would go, there's million and trillionaires. You can't even find out who's on the board of the Federal Reserve. That's not public information. Yeah, it's part of the government.
Yeah, you can't even find out if our gold is still in Fort Knox.
Well, they want to do an audit, but they're not complying. We haven't done an audit for 50 years to the amount of gold we had in Fort Knox.
We discussed that earlier. We just don't think there's enough gold to
support
the money that's there.
Okay, because if I have a dollar bill and it says it's backed by gold, I don't care if gold's worth $1,100 an ounce or if it's worth $300 an ounce. The thing is, I can take my dollar bill, and the government has that. That's better than just printing money out of thin air backed by nothing.
That's right.
So it's least consistent, what you're saying. We wouldn't be in this financial mess. Heather mentioned earlier that it's the economy that is concerning everyone. Is that the most important issue to you?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, you see these Republicans up in here saying he's going to be a better economical leader. It's not the government's job to run the economy or the business. The government's job is to protect the American people. You know, let business do what they do best, create money and employ people, create jobs.
Yeah, and let the competition system reign.
Yeah, why can't I go to Canada and buy health medicine? Because lobbyists say I can't.
I didn't hear what you said, Tim.
Oh, it's just like how we get involved with business. I can't go to Canada and get a cheaper prescription. Why should the federal government say I can't do that?
Because they work for pharmaceutical companies, maybe?
Yes, and the pharmaceutical companies pay them. We're working against such a big company. We're working Federal Reserve. We're working all these lobbyists. Most of the government employees, like Mitt Romney, owns 53% of media, newspapers, radio, and television.
He doesn't believe. We analyzed his voice. He does not believe he will ever be president, and we can show the lie.
Yeah, McCain, though, you probably picked up different than that. He's like, I'll just lie about you until you don't believe yourself.
Well, we'll do, McCain. Thank you for your information. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I have two questions I want you guys to tackle. Thank you, Tim, for your call.
Thank you.
Two questions. I don't know which one you want to run with, or if you can get it both in 5 minutes. A running mate for Ron Paul and voting machine fraud. Either one of you want to tackle. You're pointing at each other.
I have not looked at much of who Ron Paul wants as a running mate.
He's not mentioned that at all.
I'm sure he has. I just haven't had the time to look at that subject.
You know. So it'd be a constitutionalist, absolutely.
I can imagine it would probably even be someone maybe we knew it back in more honest days with the government before the Bushes.
There is a man that is going to appear on one of our shows. He was a libertarian candidate in 2004, and he was a constitutionalist. Heather, Michael
Badnarik.
Okay. And we asked him on a show if he would be willing to run, and he agreed. But he's the first person I ever run into that even fit the Ron Paul paradigm.
I think there are a lot of people out there that secretly fit the Ron Paul paradigm.
I think that's true. I've had a Ron Paul bumper sticker on my car for several months now, and people are coming out of the woodwork, and they're like, you know, I totally agree with what Ron Paul is saying, and I'm like, really? So, yeah, I think a lot of people are secretly Ron Paul fans out there.
About voter fraud, I wouldn't let voter fraud stop you at all from voting. We need to catch people in the act of voter fraud if it is indeed what's happening. And that's more reason to get involved with your system, you know, with your local election board or your county party. You know, I know here in Athens they want people on their the Republican Party wants people on their central committee to work the polls. You know, like, there are ways to get involved and to watch what happens. And if you start catching people with voter fraud, then
1 minute here,
it can be solved.
I have an idea. Thank you, Arnie. Why don't people who vote for Ron Paul report that on some kind of Ron Paul site?
As far as I know, there are some sites like the RonPaulWarRoom.com. I know in BlackBoxVoting.org Bev Harris has been watching New Hampshire very closely and found these guys unloading boxes with rips and tears in them. So. There are people watching. You know, we had voter fraud here in Ohio. There are people in jail now from 2004 who committed voter fraud. So it's important to watch your government. It's what the people are supposed to be doing. They're not supposed to watch football.
Arnie, Eric, thank you for your time to be with us, and thank you for heading up this meet up in our county.
Thank you for having us.
If you want to come back, we're open.
Yeah, anytime.
Thank you, audience. Go vote. Go donate. We'll talk to you next week.
Vote for Ron Paul.
Yeah.